Pastor Mai, hello and welcome to Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. On this episode, new data on how many houses are needed in Douglas, Onchan, Braddon, Moran and Laxey has sparked debate amongst politicians. It's come ahead of the pre-inquiry meeting into the Eastern Area Plan, the document which, once complete, will set out how land is zoned in the most populated parts of the island. Middle MHK Bill Shimmons is at odds with Policy and Reform Minister Chris Thomas on the issue of housing need. We hear from both of them. The Cabinet Office has cut the estimated number of homes needed to be built in the east of the island by around 1,000 after reviewing new data. The government figure now stands at around 1,400 new properties, a significantly smaller amount than the 2,400 stated last year. However, despite revising the estimated need in an updated evidence paper, the Cabinet Office insists the area plan for the east should have provision for 2,400 homes, the original figure from last year. Well, Middle MHK Bill Shimmons says this commitment is bonkers given current population trends. I spoke to him.
In some ways, the penny has finally dropped on some aspects, but still, a lot of it just does not make sense. And that is really quite concerning. So if you look at the overall requirement for housing units in the east, because this affects the whole of the east of the island, it was originally envisaged that that would be 2,440 units, which was under a strategic plan. But I have been asking questions for a couple of years since the census in 2016, saying, listen, the population projections were hopelessly overstated. You need to adjust the numbers downwards in terms of that housing requirement. So I was initially pleased to see that account had been taken of that, and the Cabinet Office had recognised that our population has really been pretty flat. And they're now looking at a housing unit requirement for the east for 1,357 units. So a significant reduction. So I thought, great, finally, the penny has dropped.
But that's not quite the end of it, is it?
No, but no. They're still planning for 2,440 units. I mean, it just does not make sense.
So why are they? Why have they written that they're doing that, the 2,440? Why does that remain? Is that a sort of a strategic figure that they're still going to keep to the strategic plan?
They seem absolutely wedded to the strategic plan, regardless of the reality of our population figures, and seem very loath to make sensible changes. So what we're saying, really, if you think about this, what we're saying is the Cabinet Office is now admitting that we only need 1,357 units, new homes in the east, but we're still going to plan for 2,440. Now, my view is that's it's completely bonkers. And you know what they're looking to do in terms of making up a difference is creating strategic reserves to get to that beloved 2,400 units. Now, we've had strategic reserves in the past, and so we had some around the airport, and that kind of makes sense around the airport because it's a kind of strategic site. But there are 22 separate strategic reserves proposed in this additional evidence that's been put forward, and many people have contacted me because they feel that their homes and their area have been blighted by proposed development. So these strategic reserves are going to continue to blight those particular people, and there's no clarity given on when these reserves will be brought forward and what order they'll be brought forward. It really just does not make sense. So on one hand, penny seems to have dropped, but we just don't seem to be able to give up on that 2,440 units. You know, it's really disappointing.
Well, in the Cabinet Office's defence, they have the strategic plan, they have this figure. The population, as we know, in 2016 for the census, it wasn't going to plan. But government's plan is to reverse that significantly and ensure that there is a growing population. So wouldn't it make sense to include the strategic reserve with that in mind?
No, because we need to be flexible. Because if you look at, yes, we have a plan and we do want to grow the economically active population, but going so far out based on the current population trends, I believe is just not sensible. And what we should do is replan after the next census when we actually have data rather than a plan. You know, it's all very well having a plan or a strategy, but at the end of the day, we need to look at reality. So we do want the population to grow, but also we should be looking to grow that in a sustainable way. And that really doesn't come out in this particular set of evidence papers. And even the 1,357 units is overstated. So if you look at the 2016 census, it identified that 14% of the homes in the Isle of Man were vacant. a very high vacancy rate, much higher than other places in the British Isles. So that has not been factored into the additional evidence that's been put forward. So I really don't understand why, because that's a particular problem in Douglas. So there's a lot of vacant properties. And what is our plan? What are we doing to reuse these vacant properties rather than continually looking to build on greenfield
sites?
Which
ties in very much to other work you're doing with brownfield sites.
It does. You know, and the brownfield sites aspect is a disappointing error. But let me just go back to why I still think the 1,357 is overstated. So if you look at the evidence papers, the Cabinet Office is now admitting that they made a mistake in terms of the calculation of the average household size.
Now, so we, 2.3?
Sure. Yeah, so yeah. They took the wrong figures. And now that's actually quite important, because we know that the average household size is declining. So there's more people living on their own. Families are smaller because there's a lower birth rate. So what that means is, despite the population being relatively flat, we still need more homes, because the average number of people living in each property has declined. So that does make sense. But what is really extraordinary is that the Cabinet Office has decided that the average size of each home now needs to be much bigger. So despite the fact that the Cabinet Office is saying, and I agree with this, that the household size is getting smaller, we're saying actually we need bigger properties. So it just is fuzzy logic, you know.
Where do you think this logic's coming from? Who's having an influence here?
That's what I've been trying to find out, because this has never been brought to Tynwald. So I'm concerned that this is solely being brought forward by the Cabinet Office without a proper debate, because it does have quite a lot of impact, because it means that more sites will be required, so more greenfield countryside will be built on, but also the consequences are for the average citizen is that houses are going to become more expensive, because bigger homes are more costly to build. So actually, for some sort of flick of a pen, we're creating a double whammy of effectively making it more difficult for Manx people to achieve their ambition of owning their own home. But also we're saying we need to take more land, despite the fact that the population is particularly flat. So if you bring all these things together, you start to think, Where is the sense? Where is the sense?
Well,
that?
Is it fair to say it's a flick of the pen? Because, I mean, we've had a lot of publicity and consultation on this issue.
There's been no publicity about the average household, the size of each house, you know, that we're looking at.
Okay.
It just seems to be a decision that's been made in isolation in the Cabinet Office. And I really question why. Why are we doing that? So we haven't had that debate, the pros and the cons of that debate, because clearly there are some cons. But I don't want to appear overly negative, because there are some positive aspects in the evidence. And the penny does seem to have dropped on traffic. So the Department of Infrastructure has commissioned a professional firm of consultants, traffic management consultants, SISTRA, and they have modelled the draft area plan impacts on traffic congestion, which is an issue for many people. And the outcomes of that are really quite startling, in terms of they conclude that there'll be a significant effect which will result in an increase in the average journey time by 100% in the afternoon evening peak. So it's going to take twice as long for everybody to drive in and out of Douglas as a result of the draft plan. It's not rocket science. You know, I have been saying for some time, if we keep building large residential estates in greenfield sites outside of town, then we'll see more and more people driving in and out of town. You know, and that just causes more congestion, more delays, more pollution, and general frustration. So it is good that this has been recognised, and also that the active travel strategy is an important facilitator, and it needs to start delivering on the ground improvements to make it a kind of viable choice for our local residents.
So what plans are in place to offset that impact on traffic? Have that got to that stage yet within this? Or
well, if you look through the documents, there's lots of fascinating information in documents. What it is proposed, actually, is that we should be looking to more develop within an active travel commuted
radius
of Douglas. And given that it would double the traffic times for people going in and out of Douglas, I do think that particular aspect is positive. It's good that finally that penny has dropped. One of the biggest disappointments I have in the evidence is the lack of priority given to brownfield sites. So we had a Tynwald committee looking at brownfield versus greenfield sites in terms of how we develop our island more sustainably. We need to grow, but we can do it in a much more sustainable way. And if we do that in the right way, we'll regenerate Douglas, you know, because the heart of Douglas has been hollowed out.
Well, haven't they got these comprehensive treatment areas? Aren't they a sort of focused effort at redeveloping certain areas where there are a lot of brownfield sites?
So CTAs are, I believe, a helpful initiative. I would like to see them extended further. There seems to be a reluctance to do that, which I'm struggling to understand. But what we are seeing is a lack of priority to brownfield, and that comes through still in this updated evidence pack. The Cabinet Office is proposing to permit very large residential estates on pristine Manx countryside on the outskirts of Douglas.
Camlock is
there's a few examples. You know, and you do question, how does this sit with our biosphere? How does this sit with our climate change emergency declarations? So there's some real examples as well, just in the last year or so as well. So if you look at Castletown, for example, there's a local plan which was developed for Castletown. It identifies six sites which would be suitable for development. Four of them were in greenfield and two were in brownfield sites in the centre of the town. What's happened is all four greenfield sites, there's lots of plans
being
submitted
because
it's cheaper. Because that is the business model which we have effectively encouraged over a number of years. And what's happened in Castletown is all four of the greenfield sites, there's lots of plans, hundreds of houses around Castletown are proposed to be built, all on pristine Manx countryside. The two brownfield sites, nothing's happening, which would be great for Castletown, you know, because there's a lot of empty properties in the centre of Castletown. You know, and people are moving out to outside estates. So if we don't start getting this right, if we don't change our approach, we just exacerbate the problem. So,
But wouldn't we have to, as the government would have to spend a little to incentivise at least brownfield development, or is it more complicated than that? Are there other ways you can incentivise brownfield development?
Planning is obviously a key requirement for any development. So we could make it more challenging for developing on Manx countryside. We could look at brownfield alternatives first. Now, there is a reluctance from the Council of Ministers to do that. I challenge that reluctance. There's also incentives that could be provided, but there's also fiscal measures which can rebalance the business model to make it actually more viable for developers to build in town and regenerate our towns than just continually concrete over our countryside. But there's lots of information in these documents, and I'm still wading my through some of the papers, but I would encourage others to carefully study the pack because it's really important. This will affect development across the east of the island for the foreseeable future. And if you've got any queries, you can contact the planning team. But if you are concerned about these issues, it's really important that you make your views known. And there's the first meeting of the sort of Eastern Area Plan Inquiry is on Thursday, 18th of July. So it's not that far away. Unfortunately, that might actually clash with a Timwald sitting, which is really odd.
Well, surely that would be moved on request, would it?
Well, I think scheduling such an important meeting on a day when Timwald members might be unable to attend feels wrong. But there's a number of troubling aspects about this evidence and the way that the Cabinet Office is conducting.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, as I've just explained to you, some of it just doesn't make sense, you know. And there appears to be a kind of very narrow vision on this. So we need to be looking at it more widely.
I remember Tim Crookle, MLC, suggesting that with the North and the West call for sites for their area plan, it would be, you know, sort of rushing things through to get things done for a certain timetable. Do you reckon that's the case with the Eastern Area Plan at all?
We should not rush. We should take our time and get this right. So I would urge the Cabinet Office to focus on getting this right. If that takes a wee bit longer, then that's what we should do. It's so important. And clearly, the numbers I talked about in terms of the approach with the strategic plan, that will have an impact in the West and the North as well. So we're about to embark on a massive planning exercise which will affect the East, West and North of the island. Very large proportion, vast majority of residents. So we need to get it right. It's important.
And just finally, I'd like to ask you, you've engaged heavily with the area plan for the East process. Obviously, it'll affect your constituents, but just reading through the submissions, you actually don't agree with local plans necessarily. You'd prefer to see one big one in place. Is that correct?
I absolutely think we need a more island-based approach.
Which is the eventual stated aim.
It is the eventual stated aim. But you know what you see is, so we develop in the south, we develop in the west, but we try and look at those in isolation. But they're not in isolation because a lot of people work in the east. So the whole traffic survey, I think, proves that you need a national approach to development, but it needs to be sustainable. We need to focus on brownfields. And if we do that, if we do that right, we will actually really enhance our island because our towns will become vibrant again. You know, if you look elsewhere where authorities have taken sensible measures. So they've restricted greenfield development and they've focused development in the urban centres. They've had a renaissance, you know, and that's the opposite of what we're seeing here. What we're seeing actually is our towns are a bit quieter and we're building in a lot of countryside.
An encouragement of that business model that you referred to.
So I really question fundamentally, does that make sense for us as an island?
Middle MHK, Bill Shimmons. Now, the pre-inquiry meeting will be held at the Eye Museum in Douglas from 9:30 in the morning on the 18th of July. That's open to the public, the pre-inquiry meeting into the Eastern Area Plan, where independent inspector Mike Hurley, who's been appointed to oversee the inquiry, will be introducing himself. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. Well, in response to Mr. Shimmons' concerns and disbelief at times, the Policy and Reform Minister has defended the Cabinet Office's stance. Chris Thomas says it's government policy to grow the economically active population and long-term planning strategy should reflect that. He gave me his response to Mr. Shimmons' criticism.
2 points, really, in response here. And the first one is that the plan is the plan for the future. I think Mr. Shimmons seemed a bit confused about the date of 2026. It's quite clear at the beginning of the area plan for the East that 2026 is the end date for the strategic plan. But what we're going through is a process of zoning land for development and not for development, making sure the infrastructure is in the right place. And it's a good idea to actually optimise which places would be best to develop and which places would not be best not to develop. And the second point is that you have to remember it's government policy, it's Mr. Shimmons's policy to actually grow the economically active population. So it's our intention that more younger people, more economically active people in general come to live on the Isle of Man. And if you come to live on the Isle of Man or can stay on the Isle of Man because there are great life opportunities and career opportunities here, you need somewhere to live. That's what this is about. The clue is in the word planning for the future. Yeah.
But Mr. Shimmons' point, though, does that not still stand that you say the need is around 1,400, but you say we're going to have the option for an extra 1,000 just in case?
Well, no, you've made the case. We're planning. It takes a lot of resources. We've got hundreds of people have submitted evidence. Mr. Shimmons has submitted evidence. Fair play to him. Thank you to him. But he's just one of hundreds of people who've submitted evidence. And we're in a process now, 3, 4, 5 month process of considering that evidence carefully. And the words that matter in this case are things like strategy, long run, planning. It is true. The population is 6,000 less now than it would have been if some of the idealised, optimised sort of just suggestions without any planning had been realised. What we are now is we're making sure that we have good government plans for growing the economically active population alongside good plans for making optimum use in a sustainable way of the island's space.
But shouldn't the number of homes you're planning to build in the East reflect the most current population trends, regardless of the plan that you've got to grow the population? It should reflect the reality. And I'd just like to ask you, is the population growing?
The population is growing. Net immigration is about nearly 400 a year. We've got a natural declining population to balance that, but the population has been growing for the last 3 years. The plan has always been to revisit in 2021 after the next census with real data, the strategic plan numbers and the area plans. But the most important thing is we're doing this properly. We're making sure that water, electricity, sewerage, roads, schools, health facilities are in the right place. We're making sure that the right fields are used where we need to use fields. And we're making sure that the plan encourages brownfield sites and the use of previously used land.
Some would say you're not doing enough to encourage brownfield sites.
We're doing everything we can in terms of planning. We're doing everything we can in using community infrastructure level, perhaps even using rates. We're doing everything we can. The plan itself encourages brownfield site use first. And this is all about the future. There's always the past, and from the past we get trends for the future. Mr. Shimmons is right. He must be disappointed about the expansion in the economically active population in the last few years, like I am. Mr. Shimmons himself pestered me with questions about what I was doing to increase the economically active population. Mr. Shimmons' manifesto says that he wants 20 people to come to the Isle of Man every week, 1,000 people a year. He was the one who was campaigning for work permit relaxation. He wants affordable homes to allow young people to come back. They're all admirable things. They're all inside government policy. Government policy is to grow the economically active population. Government policy is to create affordable homes for local people and for people who want to work here and make their lives here. And to do that, we need to plan for the future. The key's in the word.
Isn't the question with the planning, though, it's not the necessary... necessarily the number of homes, it's where you're planning to build them. It's the strategic reserve sites, greenfield sites, which have provoked a lot of comment in the consultations leading up to this, thinking about the Save Camlort group, places like Union Mills, Strang. It's not the number of homes, it's where you're choosing to build them that's caused
exactly.
so much angst.
Exactly, and that's what planning's all about, is choosing where to build them optimally. We've got to balance here NIMBYism on the one hand versus strategic planning for the medium term on the other hand. And, you know, we need to choose in a rational, optimal way, with giving everybody a chance to make their case about which greenfields should be developed, and that's what the inquiry is all about. It's not my inquiry, it's not government's inquiry, it's not Bill Shimmons' inquiry, it's led by an independent inspector to which Cabinet Office is submitting evidence, to which lots of people have submitted evidence, and that will all be considered fairly July, August, September, October, as long as it takes, and then the independent inspector will make recommendations in a report back to Cabinet Office.
But your evidence will play a major role, surely, in guiding that inquiry. Mm-hmm. And you've released this updated evidence papers, some would say without enough fanfare. I just wanted to ask you, what's in them, really? We've talked about population, but there are other things like highway impact assessments, for example. Yep. Could you explain what's been looked at there?
Yeah, so official statistics can be relied on, and the quality of analysis in government, I hope, can be relied on. And I think the public should expect now government to be grilled by the independent inspector in the same way that the independent inspector will grill the other people who've submitted evidence. What the transport figures are all about is we've been modelling the impact on roads of different numbers of people in different places, and we've now got the evidence that traffic will slow down, especially in the afternoons, especially around Douglas, which is a reason to make sure that we grow households in the right place at the right speed so that we can deal with what government's policy is, and we think the Isle of Man's policy is for extra people being able to stay on the Isle of Man or come to the Isle of Man in the future. So that's what the transport figures are. We've also got a decision that's made in respect of active transport and car parking, because if people do choose to start walking to work and to perhaps even cycle to work or use other means to get to work, there'll be fewer cars parking and moving around in places like Douglas during the afternoons, and that can all be helpful.
And are you trying to encourage a development in areas within a sort of, I believe it's called the active travel radius, a sort of area
exactly
closer
right.
to Douglas?
In the brownfield sites, in the urban areas, in the settled areas, and also within 2.5 miles of the centre of Douglas. So that's a new thing in the plan which people should focus on.
But you can't guarantee that people will use the active travel infrastructure. Are there other ways you can incentivise, you know, think of ways of lessening the impact on traffic?
That's what government policy is all about. So we've got the active travel policy, we've got the Sustrans consultants report on investment to facilitate working to walk. You've heard the Minister of Infrastructure talking in the last few days of balancing the interests of the pedestrian versus the interests of that same person when they're in a car. Douglas is going to change. The Isle of Man is changing. We want a younger population. We want an economically active population rather than just a retired population. Planning has to be seen in the context of government. And the most important thing that the public out there should hear is, I really appreciate Mr. Shimmons' comments. Some of his language was a bit flowery, but
he calls your plan bonkers at times.
He used all sorts of words like that, which is unhelpful, because what we need now is balanced inquiry. We need the evidence to be considered properly, because this is all about medium-term planning for what we're trying to do as Manx people living in our lovely island, and that's about having the right economically active population with the right health, education facilities, the right infrastructure around it, and so on.
I'm just curious what you say to those people who express the view that government planning to grow the economically active population, there may be some who feel they never voted for that policy. Mm-hmm. And this whole plan is geared on that premise, mm-hmm. and they may feel quite left out. I mean, what avenue do they have to sort of put the brakes on this?
Yeah, no, you're right. The Manx public is not yet convinced. The social attitude survey shows us that more and more people do realise that the economically active population needs to increase, but it's not yet a majority.
But they didn't vote for manifestos.
There are politicians who made it. Yeah, exactly. There are politicians who made it absolutely clear they believed in growing the economically active population, and Mr. Shimmons was one of them. He did say he wanted 1,000 people a year, 20 people a week to come to the island. Very clearly, he wanted affordable housing. He wanted a work permit system changed. He wanted the new jobs and so on to get that population increase. So some MHKs have got very clear manifestos for increasing the population. It's in the government programme, that which was unanimously supported in Tynwald. The locate.im strategy came, listing everything that the enterprise departments do and linking that to lots of other things going on for housing, transports, education and so on. Mm. We need a younger workforce in the public service, we do in the private sector. This island is on a cusp, it's turning, and part of the way that the turn will be encouraged is making sure that we have the right land protected as open space, as beautiful countryside, as conservation areas inside towns, as protected buildings because they've got historical significance, but also the right land that's been zoned in the right places for employment and also for housing.
Policy and Reform Minister Chris Thomas. That's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon, and you can listen again to this episode online as a podcast. But for now, Guru Mayu, and goodbye.